This is Extension 720 on WGN Radio. Here's Justin Kaufman.
It is our LitFest show here on 720 WGN. The Princess Row LitFest coming through every year right around this time. And we like to celebrate the authors and the, I would say not just the authors, but the booksellers and the book publishers and just the overall literary community here in Chicago. It's vast and it's great. So it's a great opportunity for us to talk about a lot of different things that are happening here in Chicago. Well, if you have kids or you love children's literature and illustrations, the place to be is at the Center Stage at 11:30 on Sunday for a panel called The Sky is a Curious Place. It's a conversation with my next guest, author and illustrator, DJ Korchin. Korchin is an award-winning author who both writes and draws his own books. He's the author of books like A Thousand No's and How to Speak Fish. He's also the author of the I Feel series of children's books, which have been celebrated by not only audiences, but therapists and psychologists and teachers, because they're designed to discuss how to deal with emotions, which is a central theme for Korchin. His latest book is called Star, a book where he teamed up with frequent collaborator Dan Doherty. DJ Korchin calls Chicago home. He's my guest tonight on Extension 720. DJ, thanks for being here.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So Star is, the sky is a curious place.
Yeah.
That's where we start, right? Let's start there. That's the name of the panel. And it's also it's almost considered the, I would say the secondary title of this book, Star.
Yeah, it's also my next tattoo, is that line right there for sure. No, this book is very special to me for a couple of reasons. So is a lot of writers, especially children's authors, there's always something that kind of drives them or has a purpose. And for me, I had a friend who got sick. And I didn't really know what to do, how to help. You know, you call them up, you say, hey, what do you need? Do you need money? Do you need food? What do you need? And so I did what a lot of creative people did, and I started writing. And so for me, I wanted to write something that was very personal for them, but also was an expression of how I was feeling. And it's kind of a theme in my books is I'll write something that's an expression of how I'm feeling, hoping that it can be relatable to other people.
That's how you approach your books. That's how you approach children's books. It's not really necessarily for their stories or to relate to a kid. It's your story that will relate.
For sure. For the most part, I would say that when I approach a book project like that, I'm trying to provide people the language and the words to be able to start a discussion amongst themselves. A lot of times people don't talk about things such as emotions in particular because they don't know how to. They don't know how to start that verbiage. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I go with that. And with Star, it was all about deciding on who you want to be, which is something that parents really think through when they're talking about their children.
Right. I mean, that's a theme that's really kind of monetized by adult literature.
Yeah.
Not to mention just children's literature. But how do you have to adapt your stories when you come up with a theme like that?
Yeah.
Then you have to adapt it to who's going to be reading it.
For sure. I think, you know, for me, when I start a story a couple different ways. Sometimes I start with an illustration. Sometimes I discover an idea from a parent that saw me at a book show. That's happened a couple times. And I was like, you know what? That's a great idea. Let me ask you some more about that. Let me learn some more about that. Ultimately, though, it has to be something that people can latch onto. It has to be powerful and simple all at the same time. That's actually why I write children's books, because I like that personal challenge.
Yeah, right.
Some of my favorite authors say things in very simple terms, but they leave it open to this amazing interpretation that people can dive into.
It's a hard thing to do. I mean, it seems easy because, you know, automatically you say, okay, children's book, you may have less words, less pages. But to be able to boil down an idea, and like I said, powerful and simple, it's harder than you would think as a writer, because you obviously want to use as many adjectives as you possibly can. But there is something about getting to that message and trying to stay with that message in the simplest way possible.
Right, for sure. So so you mentioned A Thousand No's. Mm-hmm. So A Thousand No's is a story about perseverance, innovation, working with others. How do you talk to a six-year-old about rejection and how that's actually part of the process? That's a good thing. To, you know, it may have less words, but it has more meaning. I feel that the challenge is, can I say what I need to say instead of a whole chapter in two pages and two sentences?
Yeah.
When I first joined Twitter, I used it as an exercise, actually, to you know, they had the 140 character limit. Can I say what I need to say in 140 characters? And it was really hard, but it made me a better writer.
Even for you.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. Yeah.
The, you know, a thousand no's. What would be, just to give us an idea, how to speak fish?
Yeah.
What are you trying to convey in that book?
Yeah. So Do You Speak Fish is about learning to communicate with others.
Do You Speak Fish?
Yeah. Learning to communicate with others that don't speak the same as you, right? So there's the literal aspect of it, which is the language, right? So sometimes we don't speak the same languages, sometimes we don't speak the same cultures, sometimes we don't speak the same emotions, and so sometimes you, in order to get your idea across, you have to speak in a way that person needs to be spoken to in order for them to hear you. So I use humor, animals, about a boy that expects everybody to speak like him so that he, you know, everybody should speak boy, right? But why would a fish speak boy? And so they all learn to communicate and learn each other's languages to be able to connect with one another. And I don't think that's any more relevant than today's day and age.
How did you get into this? What was it where, as a writer, you said, this is where I want to be?
Well, I went to school not to be a writer, to be a music teacher. So another... another career that people go into for the money is and I was a music teacher. I was in a Broadway tour, a show called Blast, for a while, and I wrote a set of poem books around the music education experience. And I found that all these people had shared, when I toured the country, I met a lot of people, and they all shared some similar experiences. So I was a big fan of Shel Silverstein growing up. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote kind of a poem book around that, and I got the bug that way. So after I taught for a year or two, the long story short is I decided that, you know, my heart is with writing, and I really enjoyed it. So I decided to pursue that career.
If anybody is listening and they have a toddler or a young child, they know the experience of reading and choosing and purchasing a children's book. And if you're in a bookstore, it is massive. If you're looking just at the shelves, you think, wow, this is what a prolific industry. There are a lot of burgeoning writers, and there must be a lot of money flowing through all of this place. I mean, for you as someone who's had a lot of success and have won awards for your work, are you at a place now as a writer where you're like, all right, I'm making bank. This is it. I am now. I can say anything I want to say. People are going to buy it.
No, I am not at that place yet. But what I do feel is that I feel strong in my messaging. I think I'm at a place right now where, I know my own branding, I guess, as an author. I definitely focus on socially conscious messages, messages that, you know, you mentioned parents picking books for kids. There's a lot of bad children's books out there.
Absolutely.
There just are, right? And so, you know, paying attention to the message that they bring, not just the cuteness of whatever it is. There's the cleverness of it, and I think that's huge. But the books need to be, for me, they need to be timeless. So the lesson that you learn from them, you should be able to read that book and get a wonderful lesson, whether you're 6, whether you're 36, whether you're 66. And that is a huge part of the type of children's books that I write. In terms of it as a living, you know, I do well. I feel good about that.
You have to write a lot, though, right?
I do. I'm always producing. I am always have things in the work, pitching it to people, trying things out. But, you know, my creative process is very kind of scattered. I have 2 children, so I'm writing it 5 minutes at a time, right? It's like, okay, I got a quick 2 minutes. Let me try to hash this line out. And sometimes it comes very quick and sometimes it doesn't, but it's always, there's always a filter that I have for that.
I asked the question, and we'll take a break here, but I asked the question because so many people are like, oh, I want to get into that business. And I don't think they recognize how hard and how hectic it is.
Yeah.
Meaning for you to have success as a children's author, you can have a great book and it can be an amazing book, but you got to write another one, you got to write another one, you got to write another one. I've had friends who have done that. And it is, I mean, it's a full-time job to produce children's literature. It's not something where you can sit on one book and that's it.
Yeah, no, and we could do a whole 3-hour show on the on that question right there, because it really is, you know, people say, I want to write a children's book. And you're like, well, do you want to get into the children's book business? And they say, no, I just want to write the book. And they don't really go hand in hand. You have to, you know, I know things now that I never thought I would know. Inks, paperweights, you know, stitchings and exchange rates, like all these types of publishing aspects of it that you have to dive into. And yeah. I have kind of like a 10-minute spiel, and people say, hey, tell me about it. I want to write a book. And at usually 9 times out of 10, after the end of that time, they're like, you know what? I might pass on that.
They walk away at the cocktail party. They're like, "Nah, that was a good convo."
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, hopefully, yeah. Otherwise, they're like, "I'm not talking to that guy anymore." Squash my dreams.
A children's author, DJ Corchin, in studio. He's going to be at the Lit Fest coming up here on Sunday with his panel, "The Sky Is a Curious Place," which is a conversation and a reading from his new book, "Star." We'll continue the conversation here on Extension 720 right after the break. So stay with us. Fortune in studio. It's Extension 720 talking Lit Fest. Taking control of Lit Fest this weekend. DJ's a award-winning Chicago-based children's author and illustrator. We didn't even talk about this. A lot of times, and Star, the book that's out right now, is with your frequent collaborator, Dan Doherty. Mm-hmm. But you do a lot of illustrations on your own, which is kind of unheard of. I know a little bit about the children's literature world, but there are illustrators and there are authors. Rarely do they sort of cross. And so for you to do your own illustrations, where does that come from?
It was born out of necessity, first and foremost. So, you know, I'm very lucky to have worked with a couple of really great Chicago-based illustrators, and Dan's an award-winning illustrator, and not to mention just a really great guy. He's done some amazing stuff in the comic world, and very witty. He's a musician. He just kind of gets it. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to work with somebody like that, you learn from him, and you know he's not always available. And so as I'm thinking through these things, I had never kind of illustrated before the I Feel Children's series, and I was literally homesick one day, and. I wrote this I Feel poem that I was like, you know what, I want to make this a book. I was like, let me take a shot at this. You know, shapes and faces can't be too hard. And so I got on an iPad and I drew around. I was like, you know what, this is going to work. This is going to make it happen. And the I Feel series just took a whole other direction that we can chat about in a second. But the illustration part of it really inspired me than it actually put pen to paper. I've been inspired by a lot of artists and illustrators and authors, such as like Ed Gorey and Shel Silverstein, Dr. Seuss, all of those. And so I grew up with them. Cool tidbit is my grandmother went to high school with Shel Silverstein.
Wow.
Yeah, so I have like his yearbook from, you know, for her yearbook from 19 whenever, and his signature. So it's always, you know, it's a special place in my heart. So,
well, let's talk about the I Feel series. This is so interesting because it's a series of like you said, poem type books, but it really, they take on different emotions. So I feel angry, or I feel sad, or I feel happy, those kind of things. But this it took off in a way that it took off with audiences and obviously consumers who are going to read it, and the audiences that you're looking for. But it also took off with the psychological community, the medical community, doctors and others who are trying to get kids in touch with their emotions or to understand emotions. Did you see that coming? Did you see that you were going to be the book that a doctor would bring out for a conversation with a kid?
No, and it made me smarter for it, for sure. And so I originally wrote the book as like, hey, I want to write a book about feelings. And the first one was all about the different feelings that you can have, and it's okay to have them all. So each one has a different emotional theme beyond just like one happy or sad. They're behavior-based, right? So acknowledgement and coping mechanisms, those types of things. But beyond just happy or sad, things like apathy. I have a book called I Feel Meh. You know, or I feel awesome,
right.
and putting it in context again. These are definitely books where those words are meant to be a conversation starter with the adult reading with them. What I found out was that it was being used for speech therapy, trauma therapy, but also kids on the autism spectrum, and that really caught my eye. And I learned things about it, such as the drawings that I drew. Were very easy for children on the spectrum to recognize because the human face can be very complex. And so they may not be able to recognize those facial expressions. So they use that. Even sometimes the books, they don't even use the words. They just use the facial recognition. So I started educating myself in ways I never thought I was going to. And it took me into a wonderful community that is rich with love and wonder, which are two of my favorite things. And so I was able to meet some really great professionals and kind of fine-tune the series, not just for autism, but for emotional awareness and social-emotional intelligence, which is huge right
now.
That's
a whole thing. You go there. But that's interesting. So as a writer, you write this and you kind of stumble upon it being used for trauma and for other issues and you know, kids who might be on the spectrum. And then you're able to learn from it and almost cater the work.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you see the creative process kind of working? Where if it's not the psychological community or the medical community, it might be an audience. It might be something else. But you're learning from book to book.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you're learning how you can connect with different audiences, and sometimes you find that the thing that you create connects with an audience that you didn't foresee. And I would just say you need to embrace that for sure. And I mean, first of all, it is a business too. So like when there's an opportunity for that, you want to be able to do that. But for me, with something like this, there comes a big responsibility. Like, you don't want to capitalize on that. That's not the right thing to do. That's not why you write children's books that way. But I feel that I've developed a voice where I can, the feedback that I've received is that, I can create that discussion starter. I had a woman who, told me that she read the I Feel Different book, as a way to tell her young son the first time she told him that he had Asperger's. Mm-hmm. And so that was very powerful, because those were words that I wrote that parent used to do that. And I felt a tremendous weight on my shoulders. Like, I need to get this right. If I'm going to put something out in the world and it's going to be used for something like that, I better do it right. And I better ask the people that know way more than me about it before I throw something out there.
It's great and it's authentic because it comes from a creative place.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you're going to have books or even, I don't know what you call, like textbooks and things like that, that are written by the medical community for this purpose and they get it wrong, or it doesn't have that feel.
Mm-hmm.
So it is great that it comes from a creative place first.
Sure. Yeah, well, I mean, that allows me to use things like humor. Like, I mean, they're funny books. They're genuinely enjoyable to read. I mean, I feel like if I can crack myself up, I feel good about it.
Always good.
Right, yeah.
Right.
You know, when you're talking about something as serious as emotions, like, I think you have to find that right balance of making it entertaining so that you keep attention of everybody, but that the message is clear and concise and it's not muddied up by everything else. Mm.
The panel is coming up here on Sunday. It's called The Sky is a Curious Place. DJ Korchin is a award-winning Chicago-based children's author. The new book is called Star. He's also the author of the I Feel series, which we were just talking about. Pleasure to have you here. Yeah. And go to the, like I said, Sunday morning, 11:30 at the center stage, which is 632 South Dearborn.